Thank you. You may be seated.
Open your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to take just a minute to meditate on the scripture as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table, for the supper of the Lord. We are the body of Christ, the church. First Baptist Church, Brazoria, is not this building. The church is not the brick and mortar that we see as we look around here. The church is us. The church is the people. We are the visible manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ and His body in this place. And we have a vital role and responsibility in this community as the body of Christ, as the visible manifestation of Christ. Now we are joined, we are not in this alone. We are joined by believers all over this world in countless other places, some houses, some house churches, some great cathedrals, but all across this world, and many of them today are gathering together in their local place as the visible manifestation of Christ's body in that place. And together we make up the church. Now, we as a church are individual, we are unique, I guess is the word I'm looking for. We're different in many ways from all those other churches, and that's not a bad thing because we have a unique community here, and God has uniquely engifted us and put us together to worship Him and serve Him in this place. We don't have to be like anybody else or even act like anybody else. Thank the Lord. We can be what God has created us to be and called us to be individually and uniquely. But there are some things that we hold in common with all the other believers and with all the other churches in this world. And there's a number of those things. Of course, the number one thing we hold in common is the Lord Jesus Christ, because every true child of God has Jesus living within him, and then we gather together as the body of Christ, and so we have Jesus in common with all these other churches. But the Lord Jesus himself gave us two ordinances that we hold in common together with all other believers. Now, some other churches have more than two ordinances, and an ordinance is a command from God. We have two, and every church, every body of Christ has these, at least these two. First one is baptism, and we are a group of baptized believers. Baptism is the visible manifestation in our own lives of our faith, and so when we are baptized, we demonstrate that the Lord Jesus Christ has done something for us. He has died and been buried and rose again. And so baptism is vitally important for us as an expression of our faith, and we do it in obedience to the Lord Jesus. The other ordinance or command from the Lord that we hold in common with every other true church of the Lord Jesus is the Lord's Supper. And in the Lord's Supper, we also visibly put on display what Jesus did for us. Now, different churches think and teach differently about the Lord's Supper, and I'll mention a little bit of that here in just a moment. But this one thing we hold in common, that it demonstrates the centrality of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are partaking of His body and His blood. We are saying that Jesus did something for us. And this is, beloved, this is a very weighty thing. That is, it is something very significant that we do here today. And I'm always concerned that when we come to the Lord's table, it's just kind of something we tack on at the end or It's just a little cracker and some juice, and we get that done, over and done with. And yeah, maybe the service lasts a little bit longer because we do this, and we then do it and move on to something more important. Beloved, I want to suggest to you today that this is one of the most significant things that we do as a church. And I want to show you that in Scripture, and I want us to help us to understand exactly what it is that we do today. So if you would, join with me as we come to the Word of the Lord in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is addressing a church that he himself planted. It's very near and dear to his heart. He knows these people. He has led many of them to the Lord. He's discipled them. He's watched them grow in Christ. He's also watched them struggle in their faith. And the Corinthian church was a church that had many, many problems. They had many great things going for them, but they had many, many problems. And in this book of 1 Corinthians, he addresses those problems. Here, beginning in the 17th verse of chapter 11, he deals with a problem that they're having concerning the Lord's Supper. Let's watch. Verse 17. Paul says, "Now, in giving the following instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together." And I want you to notice that word "come together." Okay, he's talking about the gathered body of Christ. He said, but there's something going on here that I can't praise you for. "For when you come together," he said, "it's not for the better, but for the worse." That doesn't sound very good. Verse 18, "For to begin with, I hear that when you come together," that is, you're joining together as the body, "when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you." And in part, I believe it. Now, he says that almost incredulously because he says, "You come together, but you're divided." And he says, "I believe it." Verse 19, "In fact, there must indeed be factions among you so that those who are approved may be recognized among you." That particular verse has a lot in it, and I just don't have time to go through it. But he's saying that God has a purpose and plan even in the divisions. And he says, verse 20, "Therefore, when you come together," is not really to eat the Lord's Supper. "For at the meal, each of you eats his own supper ahead of others. So one person is hungry while another gets drunk. Don't you have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you look down on the church of God and embarrass those who have nothing? What should I say to you? Should I praise you? I don't praise you for this." Now watch, he's talking about the Lord's Supper. They're coming together, and they're doing something that they're calling the Lord's Supper, but it's kind of turned into just a regular meal. They're having their dinner. They're bringing their dinner into church and in their worship time. And somebody is sitting over here pigging out while somebody else is sitting over here going, "Well, we don't have anything, so what are we supposed to do?" And so it was the supper itself that was bringing division into the body because they had turned it into something that it wasn't. And so he says, "So let me tell you, let me show you exactly what the supper is." And so this is what he does in verse 23. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." Now let's get it right, he said. "On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after supper, he also took the cup. And he said, 'This cup is the new covenant established in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Now that's what the Lord's Supper is. So he lays it out there. In fact, he says, "Jesus himself gave this to me." And so the Lord Jesus laid it out for the Apostle Paul, and he shares it with him. He says, "Now this is what you're doing. You've made the Lord's Supper into something that it's not. This is what it is." And in the next couple of verses, he gives the significance or the importance of it. This is why we must make sure that what we do in our worship, especially when it comes to this most significant event that we call the Lord's Supper, this is why we must get it right. So he says in verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way will be guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord." That is, if you're partaking in the Lord's Supper and you're not doing it right, you're guilty of sin. When can the Lord's Supper be sin? Well, it's sin when you are not observing the body and blood of Christ. Verse 28, so a man should examine himself. And in this way he should eat the bread and drink from the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. And this is why many of you are sick and ill among you. And many have fallen asleep. If we were properly evaluating ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we're disciplined by the Lord so that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you gather together, you will not come under judgment. And I will give instructions about the other matters whenever I come. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Now, let me just make a couple of observations, and then I want to just kind of unpack the significance of the Lord's Supper as we come together to observe it this morning. First of all, just in what the Apostle Paul said, I want you to note that the Lord's Supper is something that happens in the gathered church, within the body. It's part of our worship. It's part of our corporate life as a church. So the Lord's Supper is not something that you do at home by yourself. And it is something different or more significant. It is a supper. It is a meal, but it's different from any other meal. Okay? And finally, I would say that it has vital significance for us as a church. This is what Paul says to the group at Corinth. So what I want to do this morning, just in the next couple of minutes, as we prepare to come and share the Lord's table together, I just want to talk about the three things that he mentions that are of significance in the Lord's table for you and me. This is what we do when we come to the table. And remember, he says that if you're not doing this, you're sinning against the body and the blood of Jesus. So let's be very careful as we prepare ourselves for the table. And there's three things that I would say the Lord's Supper is based upon what the Apostle Paul said here. The Lord's Supper is, number one, remembrance. It is remembrance. Jesus himself used the word twice, remembrance, in verses 24 and 25. First of all, when he was talking about the bread, he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." There is something to be remembered here. And then in verse 25, when he talks about the cup, which is the blood of the new covenant, he says, "Drink it in remembrance of me." In other words, the Lord Jesus gave us this very special supper, not just so that we would have something to tack on to the end of a church service every once in a while, but that we might remember, him, but not just remember him, that we might remember that he did something. What did he do? Well, he gave his life, his body was nailed to the cross. His blood came pouring out of his side. And so we are to remember Jesus and to remember what he did. And then, most significantly, to remember that it was for me. When I take of the Lord's Supper and I take the bread and the cup for myself, I am saying that not just that Jesus died, but that he died for me because I'm a sinner. And I'm in need of forgiveness and grace and the love of God and all of those things. Without him, I am nothing. And so in the supper, I am remembering that Jesus died for me. And you just think about this, the most significant event in all of history, the death of Jesus on the cross, the most significant event in all of history was done for you. If it hadn't been for you, if you weren't a sinner, Jesus would not have died on the cross. And so when I partake of the Lord's Supper, I'm saying, hey, I've been forgiven. I've found life in him. I have given my life to him, and I belong to him. So we participate, I personally, you personally, participate in this most significant meal so that I might never forget what Jesus did for me. And if I eat and drink without remembering, I am despising the cross and the sacrifice that Jesus made for me. And the Apostle Paul said that's sin. So the Lord's Supper is, first of all, remembrance. Remembrance. And right now, I just want to call to your remembrance what Jesus did. The second thing the Lord's Supper is proclamation. So in verse 26, he says, as often as you eat this bread or drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. So you share it. And this, by the way, folks, is the reason that we do this in corporate worship. This is a public thing that we do. So what happens is, when I remember, I call to my mind what Jesus has done. And then when I proclaim it, I call to others. So what I'm doing is I'm not just remembering what Jesus did, but I'm sharing with anybody and everybody else. This is who I am. This is what Christ has done for me. And I want you to notice the natural movement in all of this. It's a very natural thing to remember something significant and then to proclaim it. We all do this. If something is important to me, I want to share it with somebody else. For example, you grandparents out there. You grandparents are so obnoxious. You always want to show pictures of your grandchildren. I had a guy, I'll be looking at him over here in just a minute. He came up to me this past week and said, I've got to show you a picture of my new great-grandbaby. And I said, that's fine, but I got to show you a picture of mine too, you know, because I don't necessarily want to see yours. I want you to see mine because my grandchildren are the most significant, and I want everybody to see them. I actually planned on putting a picture up here, but I decided that that was tacky because people give me a hard time about always wanting to show pictures of my grandchildren. But when something is vital to you, when something excites your heart, you can't help but share that. And every one of you grandparents know what I'm talking about, so don't judge me. But when Jesus is real to you, when Jesus excites your heart, when you call to mind what he has done for you, and you stand clean and forgiven before God, how in the world can you not share that with someone else? You see, memory becomes proclamation because this thing that Jesus did is so vital to us. And so when I eat and drink before this body and anybody else that will see, I am saying it's Christ in me and me in Christ. I belong to him. Jesus has done something for me, and I can't get over it, and I can't be silent. I'm going to share it. So the Lord's table is remembrance, and it is proclamation. Third thing. Please hang with me on this. The Lord's Supper is nourishment. Listen to me. It's a supper. And what do you do at a supper? You eat and you drink. Why do you eat and drink? You eat and drink for nourishment. You eat and drink whenever you go to a restaurant or you go home and sit at the table and you eat and drink, you are eating and drinking to nourish your body. The Lord's Supper, when we come and share this meal together, Jesus said, this bread is my body broken for you, and this cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. What he was saying was, this meal is not like any other meal. It's not ordinary eating and drinking. When you eat and drink, you nourish your body. But in this meal, we're not nourishing our body, because some of us are saying, well, you know what? If this is nourishment, there's not a whole lot there. Just a little piece of cracker and just a little cup of juice. Why can't we get a big cup of juice or something, right? Why can't we get a big chunk of bread or something, right? Well, the answer is because this is not nourishment for your body. We're going to be eating a meal later, okay? We'll nourish our body then. And some of us could even probably skip a meal or two and it'll be just fine. But we need the nourishment for our soul. And the Lord's Supper is nourishment for the soul. Now, please listen very
very carefully. Different church traditions look at the bread and the cup in different ways. If we were Roman Catholic, we would say that when the pastor or the priest in the Mass says the words over the bread and the wine, they become the literal body and blood of Jesus. And so in a Catholic Mass, you are literally eating the body and blood of Jesus. If this were a Lutheran church, in the Lutheran tradition, they teach that when the pastor does whatever he does, that the bread and the cup don't become the literal flesh and blood of Jesus, but they become the spiritual flesh and blood of Jesus. And they emphasize those things because they're talking about the nourishment of the soul, but it is in a very real, physical way. For us as Baptists, we believe that the bread and the cup are a symbol of the body and blood of Christ, that they don't become in any real way. They don't become Jesus' body and blood, and either physically or spiritually, but they are a symbol of that. But watch this. Still, there is nourishment for the soul here as you take the bread and you take the cup. Don't underestimate what is taking place here. This is a vital thing that we do as we remember and as we proclaim, and what the Lord does in some way. And I'm not exactly sure how all God works this out, but He works in our heart and He works in our faith to build it and strengthen it as we stand and testify to what Jesus has done for me. And what this does is it emphasizes the necessity of the Lord's Supper. This is why we do it as often as we do. Not every week, because we want to make sure that we do it in a way that honors Christ and helps us to remember it is something special and something significant. But you nourish yourself, you nourish your soul as you remember and as you proclaim. And God is at work within you. And so, in a sense, this Lord's Supper is a feast for the soul in a very, very real way. So here we come to the Lord's table, and Paul says, examine yourself. In verse 28, he says, don't come without an examination. And if you think about it, first of all, remembrance. If you're not a Christian, if you've not trusted Christ, if you've not been baptized as a symbol of your faith, then you've got nothing to remember. And so if you've never been saved and you partake of the Lord's Supper, you're basically just spitting on the cross. If you are saved, if you are a Christian, but you're not walking with God in any real sense of the way, oh, you come into church, sure, but you do your own thing day by day, week by week. It's all about you. Your life is all about you and not about Christ. If you're not walking with Him, if you're not following Him, then to partake of the Lord's Supper is not proclamation. In fact, it's a distorted word of what Jesus has done. Basically, you're saying that this really is meaningless to me because I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to follow Christ. And so Paul says, examine yourself. And if there's no remembrance and there's no proclamation, there's no nourishment. So, beloved, this morning we're going to pause here just for the next few minutes as we prepare for the table, as we prepare to remember, as we prepare to proclaim, as we prepare to receive the nourishment of God for our souls. And my question to you would be, what exactly do you need to do to examine yourself, to prepare for the table? In the examination, it might be that you need to be saved. You know, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, because everybody needs to be saved. Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death.
If you're sitting here this morning, you've never trusted Christ, in these next few moments, I'm going to invite you to trust Christ and to publicly proclaim your faith in Jesus by coming forward, and I'll receive you up here, and we'll just tell anybody that cares to know that you belong to Jesus. Or if you're a Christian, and in the examination, you understand or you come to realize that you've not been walking with Christ in any real sense of the word, then I'm going to invite you just to get your heart right today. Now, the altar will be open if you just need to come and pray. I'll be here to receive you. Maybe somebody else in this room you need to go to and you need to talk to about what's going on in your life. Come on. We are the body of Christ, and we can help one another as we walk. What do you need to do as you prepare yourself for the Lord's table, as we focus on Jesus? Father, I pray that you would help us this morning to take your word, to receive it, and to do it. And Lord, as we come to remember and to proclaim and to receive from your hand life, God, I pray that you would right now just help our hearts to be ready. In Jesus' name I pray.